Thank you for joining Mechon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This week's Mishnayot are Perek Dalet, Mishnayot Tet through Yudbet, Chapter 4, Mishnayot 9 through 12. We begin with Mishnah Tet. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Rabbi Yonatan says, Kol ha-mekayem et ha-Torah me'oni, anyone who keeps the Torah out of poverty, sofo le-kayama me'osher, in the end, he will keep the Torah out of wealth. Essentially, if even though you are poor, you are still remaining steadfast to the Torah, you're still maintaining your allegiance to it, in the end, you will have enough wealth that you will be able to keep the Torah in comfort. But on the other hand, the chol ha-mevatel et ha-Torah me'osher, anyone who abandons the Torah, despite the fact that they are wealthy, sofo levatla me'one, in the end, you will come to abandon the Torah out of poverty. We continue with Mishnah Yud, Mishnah 10. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Hevei mema'et be'esek va'asok pa'Torah. You should do less of business and instead engage in the Torah. There's a pun here in the Hebrew. Esek, ayin samech kuf, is being engaged in business, and then the verb, asok, to engage in the Torah. And Rabbi Meir seems to be continuing in Rabbi Yonatan's tradition of saying, you should really not be concerned about your financial situation. Instead, you should be concerned with how much Torah you do. The finances, they'll work out. But only you can make sure that you are giving enough of yourself to the Torah. He continues, "V'havei shafal ruach b'fnei kol adam," and you should be very humble in the eyes or before other people. "V'im bitalta min haTorah, yeshlach betelim harbei kenegdach," and if you've abandoned the Torah, there are plenty of people that are doing nothing just like you. "V'im amalta b'Torah," but if you work hard in Torah, Yeshlo sachar harbe litein lach. He, that is God, has a lot of reward to give you. And here, Rabbi Meir seems to be playing on a person's sense of where they are the most special, where their talents are most needed. And Rabbi Meir says, you might think that only you can run your business, only you can live your life, and you have to live it the best. And Rabbi Meir says, well, actually, if you look at it from the Torah's perspective, you're just ignoring the Torah. And there's a bunch of other people who are ignoring the Torah just like you. Because in Rabbi Meir's perspective, the thing that really defines you is your allegiance to and your relationship to the Torah. So from his perspective, if you abandon the Torah because you're a shopkeeper, if you abandon the Torah because you're an architect, if you abandon the Torah because you're an artist, if you abandon the Torah because you're a woofer, regardless of what you're doing, it all looks the same to him. And he says there's a bunch of people doing nothing as far as the Torah goes, just like you. You think that you're making yourself unique by abandoning the Torah to engage in other pursuits? Actually, the whole world is full of people that don't care about the Torah, just like you don't care about the Torah. But if you were to spend your energy on the Torah, there is a real sechar, there's a real reward that comes to you, and God has an endless amount of reward that he can give to you. And Rabbi Meir is asking you to make a kind of calculus of, do you want to be special and think that you're being special, or do you want to be good? And Rabbi Meir says, being special is actually very ordinary. There are plenty of batlanim that are like you, but goodness always pays. Goodness will always end up coming back to you in the end. We're continuing with Mishnah Yud Aleph, Mishnah 11. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Yaakov, says, Ha'oseh mitzvah achat, one who does one mitzvah, konelo praklit achad, creates for himself one defense angel. Essentially, you've got one thing that counts in your defense when you do a mitzvah. Ve'ha'over avera achat, and one who violates one avera, commits one sin, konelo kategor achad, he creates for himself one prosecutor. Teshuvah u'ma'asim tovim, repentance and good deeds, Hitris bifnei ha-puranut. They are like a shield that protects from punishment. Some of this imagery may be familiar to you from the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur liturgy. there's this notion that your deeds actually stand on their own, and they are counted, and cumulatively, they speak to you or speak against you. And the lesson here seems to be, you might consider yourself to be a good person or a generous person or a kind person or a wise person, but actually who a person is, according to this model, is not how they feel, not what their values are, but what they've done. If you've done something good, you have one defense. If you've done something bad, you have one prosecution. We're continuing with Rabbi Yochanan Hasandlar. Rabbi Yochanan Hasandlar Omer, Kol Knesia Shehila Shem Shamayim, any gathering that is for the sake of heaven, Sofa Litkayim, it will remain standing in the end. V'she'eina L'shem Shamayim, and one that is not for the sake of heaven, Ein Sofa Litkayim, it will not exist in the end. We're continuing with Mishnah Yud Bet, Mishnah 12. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua Omer, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Shamua, says, Yehi Kavo Talmidach, Chaviv alecha kishalach, the honor, or the respect, I would actually say the dignity, of your student should be as dear to you, as important to you, as your own. Uchavod chaveirach, and the honor or the dignity of your partner should be kimora rabach, like the fear that you show to your teacher. Umora rabach, and the fear of your teacher should be kimora shamayim, as serious to you and as important to you as the fear of heaven. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua is imagining that the person to whom he's speaking is a teacher, is a rav, a rabbi, just like him. And the main figures in his world are himself, his student, his colleagues, his teacher, and God. And there's a hierarchy here. God is at the top, then comes the teacher, then comes the colleague, then comes himself, and then comes the student. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua is asking you to bump each of these people up a notch. So your student, who you would have ordinarily treated with less respect, you should treat with as much respect as you would give to yourself or to your colleague. And your colleague should get the amount of respect that you would have fear of your teacher. And here there's a little transition from respect or dignity to fear. Someone who is at your level or someone who is below your level is someone to whom you bestow a certain amount of respect. Someone who is really far above your level, they have a relationship to you that is more one that inspires fear, and you treat them with a sense of awe, not just a sense of respect. And Rabbi Elazar bumps your chaver, your colleague, to the level of Rav, so you would not only show him respect, you would also show him or interact with him with some level of awe, and bumps the teacher up to God, where you show the teacher as much awe, as much deference as you would to God. Because the person who teaches you what God says is your teacher, and you take your teacher's word for it. I'd like to return our attention to the first Mishnah that we studied this week, Mishnah Tet, where Rabbi Yonatan talked about these dynamics of keeping the Torah when you're wealthy and keeping the Torah when you're poor. And the pshat, the simple understanding of this Mishnah, is that there's a little bit of a supernatural, materialistic reward for learning and keeping the Torah. That if you're poor and you keep the Torah, God is going to reward you with riches. And if you're wealthy and you don't bother to pay attention to the Torah, you're going to lose your riches as an account. This is very hard to really wrap our minds around, because we know that there are plenty of people who are poor and study and keep the Torah and stay poor their whole lives. And there are plenty of wealthy people who never become poor because they've disregarded the Torah. So how are we supposed to understand this teaching, given that manifestly it doesn't seem that learning Torah makes you rich and ignoring the Torah makes you poor? So I'd like to argue that this Mishnah is really about making excuses. The person who is poor and nevertheless keeps the Torah is someone who says, even though I have a good excuse to not learn, I'm not going to use that excuse. I'm not going to allow the difficulty of my life, my financial woes, to keep me from studying Torah. I am going to make Torah learning and Torah keeping my priority. Even though, theoretically, I could say, what do you want from me? I have a hard life. All the free time that I have, I need to rest. And on the other hand, someone who is wealthy represents someone who does not have an excuse not to keep and learn the Torah. Financially, they can afford to keep all of the mitzvot. It's not going to put them into debt to have a really elaborate Shabbat meal, to buy a really nice lulav and etrog, to spend the tuition and to spend the time to learn Torah. They have leisure. They have leisure money and they have leisure time. And the person who, nevertheless, refuses to learn Torah, that is the rich person's mentality. And the promise of, if you learn the Torah and keep the Torah, even when you have an excuse not to, the promise of the Mishnah is, Sofo l'kayama me'osher. In the end, you will keep the Torah out of wealth, meaning Torah will become such a fixed part of your life that you won't feel like you're sacrificing for it anymore. It will be a source of joy. It'll be a source of pleasure. It'll be a source of leisure. It will make you feel good about yourself. And so the Torah that you used to have to force yourself to learn because you were in a state of poverty, you did have a lot of worries, then can be a source of comfort, can be a source of joy, a source of relaxation, will make you feel like, I'm learning Torah like a rich man. I can sit by the Eastern Wall and people will ask me questions and I will feel like the time that I'm spending learning Torah is the time that I feel like I am the richest. This is the time when all of my troubles don't bother me anymore. That's the promise to the person who learns Torah, even though they're poor and they have all of the excuses in the world not to engage in Torah practice and Torah study. And the mentality of a rich person who just can't be bothered. They have the time and they can't be bothered. They will continue to go down this path. And even when they want to learn Torah, they'll no longer be able to. They'll have lost that connection to the Torah. They could have exploited their free time and they could have exploited their extra resources to gain in an appreciation, to gain in time for Torah. But instead, they allowed the ignoring of the Torah, ignoring the spiritual and religious pursuits, to become such a big part of them that it starts to define them. And eventually they become the poor person in relationship to the Torah because they actually can't learn Torah. They don't have the means to learn Torah. And what I think the lesson is here for all of us is that when you're busy, when you're a person who is an ani, you're poor for lack of time. When you're busy, you don't have time, so you have to make time. And when you do make time, you have time. Time has a miraculous quality of being able to expand and being able to contract. Sometimes 5 minutes feels like 5 hours, and sometimes 5 minutes feels like 5 seconds. And what Rabbi Yonatan is urging us to do is to make time for the things that matter, and in that way, see our time and our capacity to appreciate time expand. Next week's Mishnayot are Perek Dalet Mishnayot Yud Gimel through Ted Vav, Chapter 4, Mishnayot 13, 14, and 15.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum. Join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration, and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton for March 3rd through 5th, 2017.